Philippians chapter 3. This Bible is real. It's the real deal. It works. What a blessing. Verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And then he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Use me in a special way to do a great work through the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've been dealing with joy from Philippians. This letter by the Apostle Paul, written from a prison cell to the body of Christ, the church at Philippi. He wrote about joy. He talked about joy. He had joy. He wanted the people of God to enjoy joy. And I don't know about you, I like me some joy. Amen. We all need it. We can all have it. But we've got to get it the Bible way. He's teaching us in this letter that it comes from a single mind. We saw that. It comes from a submissive mind. We saw that. And we've been dealing with the last several weeks the joy of the Lord that comes from a spiritual mind. You're not going to get joy in the flesh. You're not going to get joy being carnal. You're not going to get joy being selfish. Joy comes from a supernatural God, and it must be received in a spiritual way. So he gets to chapter number 3, begins to turn the corner, if you would, adding another idea to our minds about this thing called joy from a spiritual standpoint. And he reminds us that when we meet Christ, when we get saved, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. You've heard me say it 1,000 times, so we might as well make it 1,001. I'm glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved? I mean, just think about your life without salvation. Think about your friends, your relationships, your weekly activities, your disbursement of finances, your thought process, your home, your kids, your opinions, your philosophy, your ideology. Christ got involved and he got inside your life and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you and every single aspect of your life changed. You know, there are some things that we get involved with in life that only change a certain aspect of life in which they're involved. But aren't you glad that when Jesus gets involved, he doesn't just change what you do at church or what you do in the Bible reading or what you do in prayer. He changes everything about you. And Paul spent time talking about all that had changed in his life since he got saved. He concluded that section with verse number 14 with pressing toward the mark. We spoke last week about this strenuous push. Paul likened himself to a runner in a race. He was one that ran with a superior pedigree. He was one that ran with a shifted perspective. He was one that ran with a sensible persuasion. He was one that ran with a specialized purpose. He was one that ran with a singular or a single-minded pursuit. And therefore, he was one that ran with a strenuous pushed. He said, if God saved me, and he did, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and he does, if he put me in a race, and he has, then I'm going to push in this race with everything I have. We spoke about everything changed. Tonight I want us to look at this section, verses 15 down to verse number 21. And I'd like to title this, All In. All In. Now here's what I'm thinking. Okay. If everybody changed, then everybody should be in. Are you missing what I'm saying? Now watch them. Now there aren't some runners in the Christian life that got what Paul got. All the runners got what Paul got. Now think about this. Everybody that is saved has been put in the race, but not everybody's running. Now here's what Paul is saying. I have given you my Christian testimony about how I'm running my race based on what Jesus did for me. Here's what he's taking this section and in so many words saying. While you've watched me speak about my race and you've watched me run my race, I'm not telling you my story so you can sit in the grandstand and cheer me on. I'm also not telling you my story so you can sit in the grandstand and criticize me. Now listen, now the fan's gonna do one thing. He's gonna cheer or he's gonna criticize. The difference between a cheerer and a criticizer is not very much. Neither one of them in the game. Now I'm sorry to say this, but most Christians live the Christian life from the stands. They live with a pom-pom or a tomato. They're either saying he shouldn't have done that, or they're saying, yay, he did that. The Christian life is never about being a fan. Paul's saying, and by the way, he was not giving us his story so that he got bragged on, or he got praised, or he got put on a pedestal. He was saying to them, I can only speak for myself. Like Richard said a few moments ago, I can only tell you what he did for me, but he did so much in such a special way. I'm committed by the grace of God to run. Has he done anything for you? All in. Let me give you a thought tonight about this all in. Write down, if you would. First of all, he's going to talk about faithful people. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Not everybody can have the same amount of money. Not everybody can have the same amount of talents. Not everybody can have the same amount of kids. Or number of kids, but everybody in the building can be faithful. Faithful people. So he gives them, if you would, concerning faithful people, what I call a consequential exhortation. In verse number 15, third word, let us what? Therefore. Come on, say it with me. Let us what? Therefore. Anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you want to find out what it's there for. Now, what is he saying? Having said what I've said up to this point, let us therefore. In other words, considering what I've written in these verses prior to verse number 15, therefore, I'm giving you a consequential exhortation. Because Jesus changed everything, everybody ought to be in. Now, watch what he says now. He gives, if you would, concerning this consequential exhortation, a specified conclusion. To whom is Paul speaking? Let us, watch us, as many as be perfect. Now these were those who were the living mature. When the word perfect is mentioned in the Bible, it is speaking about maturity or spiritual development. I'm glad that in the church are people who by the grace of God and spiritual growth have arrived at a level of maturity. Listen to me. The longer you're saved, the closer you ought to be to God and the further you ought to be away from childishness. As many as be perfect. Here's what he's saying. for all of you sitting in the church who've been under the Bible, under the teaching of the Word of God, exposed to truth. Bless God, you ought to be mature. But he said, if some of you are otherwise minded, not everybody in the church is mature. Some are not mature because they just got saved. Some are not mature because they've been saved a long time, but they just haven't grown. But here's what Paul's saying. This all-in speech is not just for mature people. It's for immature people too. In other words, he's saying for those who are the living mature and for those who are lacking maturity. He says you ought to be involved. Look at what he says again in verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. The specific inclusion is whether you are living mature or you are lacking maturity. And by the way, here's what he's saying. If you're in the church and you're not mature, if you're immature in any area, he has enough confidence in God that God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, spiritual immaturity is never an excuse for not being committed to God, because the God that saved you is competent and capable to take you from immaturity to maturity. If you haven't grown in the Lord like you should, stay in the work of God long enough, he'll grow you up. Supernatural information he will give you. Paul's saying, all of you that have been listening to what I'm saying, you got put in the race like I did. God is giving you specified inclusion, supernatural information. And then he says, so now I'm asking for solicited involvement. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. And by the way, you know what that attainment is? Everything he talked about in those verses. Let us walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. Here's what I want us to get tonight. Paul's saying, if you got what I got in them first few verses, aren't you glad there aren't different versions of salvation? Different brands. You know, you ever get something, people ask you, where'd you get it from? Because once they find out where you get it from, they're going to let you know whether they think it's legitimate. You know, did you get it from AT&T or did you get it from Five Below? Okay? That will determine how long it be before it cracks itself. You understand? See, cheap stuff doesn't last like quality stuff. Aren't you glad that there's only one dosage of salvation? That salvation that you receive through the blood of Jesus Christ. Any other salvation is no salvation at all. So Paul, in so many words, is saying, Church of Philippi, if you're all saved and there's only one way to be saved, then everybody that's saved should be walking by the same rule. Minding the same thing. A united manner and a unified mindset. In other words, the verses about running, the verses about pressing, the verses about purpose, the verses about not attaining, the verses about not arriving, the verses about giving it all we've got. Those verses are not for elite Christians. Those verses are for every Christian. Why are we of the mindset that some play and some watch? Some get in and some don't. In the work of God, everybody belongs in. He's saying, if you got what I got when you got saved, guess what you should be doing? Pressing toward the mark. Guess what you should be doing? Following after. Guess what you should be doing? Apprehending that for which you're apprehended in Christ Jesus. Guess what you should be doing? Admitting you haven't obtained. Guess what you should be doing every day? Trying to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We got to get this mindset out of our minds as Christians, that some Christians are supposed to be here and some Christians are supposed to be here. Listen to me. We all grow at different levels, but even though our level of growth may be different, the goal of our growth is the same. And I think about this with Paul. As many as be thus minded. Let us walk by the same rule. Mind the same thing. One of the biggest difficulties in churches across America today is unity. And one of the reasons why people struggle with unity is because they don't know what it is. And some people struggle with unity because they're trying to get uniformity. And you're never going to get uniformity as long as you have different people with different opinions. Uniformity is a standard of agreement on the outside. Unity is a practice of agreement on the inside. Now listen to me. We will walk in unity as a church if every single born again believer says, I'm in this race because Jesus put me in it and I'm going to run with everything I got until he takes me home. Instead, we often end up being the fan in the stands. And too much of our Christian life is lived this way. Why do you do that? Watch it. I wouldn't have done it that way. How about this one? I could have done it better. Have you ever listened to someone give advice on a subject in which he has no expertise? And your whole mind went like this. Y'all know what that means, right? You know what I mean? Nobody got time for that. In other words, you're saying, how can you teach me to do something you don't know how to do yourself? Listen, I'll tell you what some folks need to do in 2019. Leave the stands and check in the game. When you hear somebody talk about reading through the Bible, don't clap because they read. You read. When you hear somebody talk about growing in their faith, don't just rejoice that they grew in their faith. You grow in yours. Watch this. When you see somebody in the Christian life fall, don't gather up a chat room and talk about how they fell. You run the race and determine not to fall yourself. Because it's easy to criticize someone's failure for falling when you ain't running. You ain't gonna never fall if you don't run. I think there are Christians in the Bible that are still trying to criticize Peter for sinking instead of getting out the boat and the walk. And this is where our Christian life is often lived. I wouldn't do it that way. That's not the way I think it is. That's not the way I would do it if I were. Listen to me. God has given you, you know the good thing about the Christian life? However you think you would do it, you can actually do it. You don't have to talk about what you think it should be. You don't have to talk about what somebody else should be doing. You don't have to give commentary on somebody else's race. You have a race. You've been enlisted. You've been enjoined. And you ought to be enthusiastic to give everything you got for Almighty God. All hands on deck. I don't want to live my Christian life from the stands. And I think about it. We're all sports fans. And we all can evaluate. They call it what they call it, the armchair quarterback. Every morning he's on the news talking about evaluating and analyzing. And you know, nowadays, you play a career, a football, a basketball, you stink, you never did nothing, you get out and you analyze people. And you take this little screen and you get up there and you mark and see what LeBron needs to do is, man, you didn't even play. And this is what they do. They give people a job to critique people at something they couldn't do well themselves. And people are like, and that's why some of these athletes are like, who are you? I don't even know. Have you ever even played? You know, and this mindset, because people love to point out other people's mistakes when those people are doing something they never do. I'm always amazed at childless people who have all the answers about raising children. Come on. I mean, there's some stuff that's obvious in the Bible. There's some stuff that you only learn by experience. And they say, now what you need to do, and you're thinking, you need to get married and have kids. You know, or people who never take the time to be disciplined to tell you how you need to be disciplined, or never work and tell you how to, or you, here you go. We break down stuff after service and men are moving around and some glorified, sanctified man goes, the way you ought to stack those chairs. And you're thinking, why don't you stack them, bruh? You know what I'm saying? You're thinking, you know, instead of advising us how many put in a stack, why don't you show us? And if we're not careful, we'll borrow this philosophy in the Christian life. That's for him. That's for sister so-and-so. She's built that way. That's for pastor. That's what preachers do. Every once in a while, a church member says, how's sister so-and-so doing? I want to say, why don't you call her? And I'm thankful for church members who won't just ask, they'll do. And I appreciate that. But some people ain't gonna never do. They're just gonna ask, or they're gonna criticize people that are doing it. Paul said, come out the stands. I'm not holding up myself as an example so that you can say, look at Paul, great writer, great Christian, great runner. No, he's saying, I'm running because something in me compels me to live for the God that loved me and gave his life for me. Ladies and gentlemen, may salvation not just be the beginning statement of our Sunday night testimony. May our salvation be the motivation for every spiritual action that we do every day. May we pray because we're saved, read the Bible because we're saved, sow in because we're saved, give because we're saved, worship because we're saved, minister because we're saved, be separated because we're saved, be charitable because we're saved, have a good attitude because we're saved, clean up our language because we're saved. We don't do right to be saved. We do right because we're saved. And Paul, here's what Paul's saying. My salvation alone is enough to motivate every spiritual action. What are you waiting for him to do? As soon as God blesses me when touch, I'm going to he snatched you out of hell. He adopted you into his family. What else you need to do right? Let as many of us as be perfect. And if any otherwise, be any other kind of minded. Oh, God will reveal it to you. All you need to be mature is to appreciate your salvation. And that appreciation alone will drive you to spiritual growth. I'm so glad I'm saved. And what I got at 4 years old drives me every day to keep getting some more. You know, the Christian life is not a small plate, fancy restaurant. It's a smorgasbord. You can get as much as you want. You can get as much as you want. Now God fixed the food, and how many of you know God know how to fix it? But that don't mean he's going to feed you. You can pick up your own fork, pick up your own spoon, and get in the game. As we go into 2019, I think about this. I've thought about it every day of the week, every day of this year. I'm so happy that God has given us another chance to serve him. I'm just so tickled. I've been so sentimental, so emotional. I know you're thinking, what's new? But I'm just so tickled that we get another year to do something for God. And I'm so tickled that I get to do it with you. I like holiday times because I like fun. You know what I like about holiday times ending? Everybody comes back. They get back in town. And I start looking around and say, what's the name's back? What's the name's back? What's the name's back? And start looking up in the choir. Oh, look at who's back. Looks. I like it when we're all here. And I was just saying to someone earlier, one of the things I like about looking around in church is I like looking at people's faces and knowing their stories. Some of these young people came up through the youth group. Some of these couples met here at church. Some couples were about ready to throw in the towel. And here they are on a Sunday night, on the first Sunday in January of 2019, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Crossroads Baptist Church, serving God. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter how much money we got in the bank. What keeps us unified is not our ethnicity, not our finances, not our background, not our credit score. What keeps us all united is we all, by the wonderful, matchless grace of God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we got saved. And it lumps us all into the same category. Walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. How you living? Because if you got what I got and I got what you got, we ought to both be living the Jesus way. There's no other way to live but that. Our Father, thank you. Give us a spiritual unity. That drives us with salvation at the core to commitment, total consecration. Give us hungry, hungry souls, burdened hearts, a desire to live for God. Do what you're doing. Like only you can do it. In Jesus' name, amen.